I once had a fellow to come to me, and he said to me, Brother Barley, I bought a lottery ticket. I said, you bought a lottery ticket? He said, yes, but I bought it because if I win, I'm going to give it to the church. I said, well, if that's the case, then give me the ticket. And he refused. I think that that's the attitude of a lot of us. We get stirred and we say, oh, if God would bless me, I'll give it to the work of God. But when the Lord blesses us, we think of all of the personal things that we desired and all of the things that we've never had. And before we know it, it's all spent. Amen. And I don't know about you, but Brother Howard and Brother Shoemake have put a desire on my heart to preach on the radio. Thank God. And in fact, I've had the opportunity. We've got a Spanish-speaking radio broadcast in South America, and I'm one of the speakers. And I'm waiting for the Lord to give us a harvest of souls from those broadcasts. Thank God. Now, the reason that I'm starting out slow is because I'm trying to fill out the spirit of this thing. You know, we could get up here and we could start driving. And we could drive. But I want the real, genuine mind of God tonight. Would you slip your hands up in the air and say, God, let us hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, and verse number 8. Isaiah 29, verse 8. And while you're turning your Bibles there, let me say that I appreciate the wonderful God-given privilege that He has given us to be with you in this conference. I am sure that I will return to my daily schedule a different individual than what I was when I came here. My heart is being stirred, and I am anxious to put some of these things that we have heard out into the field and see what God will do with them. Hallelujah. Let us read to you tonight this scripture, verse 8, chapter 29, the book of Isaiah. It shall be even as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. I would like to speak to this congregation tonight concerning the appetite of a soul. The hungry soul. Or maybe we could even say the cry of a soul. It seems to be that there are a lot of moves in the world, and especially among our educated people in our universities and in the United States, of men and women that claim to be an atheist. But you're looking at a preacher tonight that absolutely does not believe that there is a true atheist in the world. I am a believer that when God created man and woman, He created them with a thing called a soul. And even though we try to say there is no God, in the time of crisis and in the time of need and on the deathbed, there is something down deep inside that is a soul that automatically cries out to God Almighty, the maker of the world and the one that formed you and I. He is the maker of Adam. And when He made Adam, He made him out of the mud. He scooped the mud up from the riverbed. And He made a mud doll. I believe that Adam looked like we look. I do not accept the theory of evolution. I do not believe that my forefathers swang through the jungles hanging by their tail. But I believe that God created man and made him upright and with a soul. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And somehow tonight I would like to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost to turn us on in such a way that we can literally hear the cry of a hungry soul out there in the world of sin, whether it be in California or New York City or in Guatemala or no matter where it might be, whether he's black or white, yellow or red, no matter what conditions he might be living in, whether he's a dope addict or whether he's a banker somewhere in the bank, God help us to hear the cry of a soul. Oh, hallelujah. Could you give me a little more volume on this mic? Praise God. I am concerned tonight as I look over this congregation. I am afraid that many times we come to a meeting like this, and I'm going to talk my heart, and we come to greet one another. We come to meet with one another. And there is no one in Pentecost that loves fellowship any more than I do. Amen. But many times we do not really feel the heart throb and the sincerity of a meeting like this, because we did not come with the prayer life saying, God, I want to hear from heaven. I want you to dig down deep in my soul and do something for me that I might go forth and be a fire, a flame, hallelujah, an evangelist to reach out to a lost and dying soul. Come on. See, when God made Adam, Adam was just a mud doll until God worked a miracle. And then God leaned over that mud doll and He breathed into the nostrils of Adam. And the Bible tells me that's the moment that Adam became a living soul. You may ask me tonight, preacher, what is a soul? I cannot tell you what a soul is. I cannot describe it. I would not be ignorant enough tonight to try to describe to you a soul. But I am brave enough to tell you that every last individual in the world today, whether he be an hedonistic Indian out in the jungles of South America or a black man in the jungles of Africa, he has a soul. Amen. And that soul hath an appetite and crieth out, someone tell me how I can satisfy the cry of my soul. Amen. I once stood in a village back in the jungles of Venezuela, and I looked at a Guajiro Indian. And ever since I talked to this Indian, this is one man that went away believing there is no such a thing as an atheist. You might say, but preacher, what about all of these people that say they are atheists? Absolutely. They only say it because they are afraid of the judgments that are coming upon them. And they're trying to hide themselves behind a false face and a make-believe and say there is no God. But I'm telling you tonight, down deep inside of them, they've got a soul that can't sleep at night. They roll and toss on the bed, and they turn from one side to the other, and they walk the floor, and they say, oh, I wish somebody would tell me how to satisfy my longing soul. And I'm saying it to the United Pentecostal Church. We are the only group that can tell them how to get their soul satisfied. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And out there in the middle of the jungle, I looked across to that little Indian and I said to him, I said, do you speak Spanish? Usted habla español? He said, I can speak enough to hold a conversation with you. I said, well, there's a question I want to ask you. I said, did you Indians believe in God before the missionaries came? And he stood there with himself. Between him and myself was a flaming fire. And he began to tell me. He said, Brother Barley, we Indians have always believed in God. But we didn't know who he was. There would be times when we would be out in the fields and we would be hunting. And we'd see a beautiful flower, and we'd bow down to that flower, and we'd say, because of its beauty, that must be God. And we'd pray to that flower, and then we would get up, and the next day, we'd be going through the fields, and the hot sun would fall upon our naked backs. And we begin to reason together because the sun heats our backs and it's so warm and it gives us light during the day. That sun must be God. And we bow down and we pray to the sun. Oh, what's happening? There is a soul inside that's trying to be satisfied. That's trying to find out where is the satisfying portion. Amen. He went on to say, and then there would be nights when we'd be out in our wilderness. We'd get together around our fireplaces and we'd begin to dance. And all at once someone would stop and they would point to the moon and they'd say, look at the moon, because it gives us light at night. That moon must be God. And we'd bow down and we'd pray to the moon. But they never could feel anything. They never did get an answer. No. Do you know why? Because they didn't know how to find the God of heaven that created them and got them from the dust of the ground. But yet inside of them there was a cry of the soul that said, I know somewhere there's a God. I know somewhere there's a Savior. I know somewhere there's one that can satisfy the longing of my soul. Hallelujah. And all at once he stood. I saw the tears running. Hallelujah. As he raised his hands and he said, but thank God someone come and tell us who Jesus really is. And can you remember when you were out in a world of sin? As a vagabond, no one loved you. No one cared for you. You lay in the gutters of the street. You were an alcoholic. You were on drugs. You were running around. And you were thinking, oh, I'm satisfying this
flesh, and then you would spend your money on the weekend, and you'd go out and get drunk while your wife and your children stayed at home, and they were so hungry, and you'd wake up on Monday morning with a headache and a hangover, and you'd look in the mirror, and you'd say, why am I such a fool, and why do I do this? But the next weekend, you'd be right back out there doing the same thing. Do you know why? Because inside of a man, there is a drive to satisfy his flesh. Amen. And when he tries the beer and the liquor and the cigarettes and the dance halls and all of the things that this world has to offer him, all he has done is fed the flesh. But on his bed at night, there is a soul that cried out and saith, I'm hungry. You fed the flesh. You've gone here and you've gone there. But my soul is hungry. The soul hath an appetite. Come on. And the only way that the appetite of the soul can be quenched is to take that soul to an old-fashioned altar and raise up your head and look up to God and say, God, I'm hungry. I'm not satisfied. I come to my Maker. I come to the One that created the heavens and the earth. I come to the One that put the stars in the sky. I come to the One that put the moon out there to shine and cause the sun to shine by day. If I would take a poll in here tonight, I could get many testimonies that would stand and say, Brother Barley, there were times I thought I was satisfied. Amen. There were times when I thought I was satisfied when I spent my money. Like the boy in the Bible that you and I know as the prodigal son. He said, I want all that belongs to me. I've never lived in the world. I've never enjoyed the things of this flesh. I want to go out and enjoy life like I want to enjoy it. Amen. And we know the story that he went out there. But it wasn't long until there was a famine in the land. And now the flesh can't be fed, but from inside there's an appetite of the soul that finally came to itself and said, I know what I'll do. I'll arise and go back to my daddy. And there the servants live better than what I'm living out here. Amen. And he made his way down. Hallelujah. The old lane headed for home. Now he's not all dressed up. Now he doesn't have some beautiful clothing on. But now his elbows are sticking out. Now he's got holes in his breeches. He's barefooted. His hair is matted. And his cheekbones are sticking out. His eyes are hollow. He tried to satisfy the flesh, but he cannot satisfy the cry of the soul and the appetite of the soul out there on the bitter elements of the world. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there, something that he didn't know back there at home was the father standing there waiting day after day. Maybe he'll come home someday. Oh yes. And one day that dear old daddy stood out there and he looked down the lane and he thought someone walking, and he calls the servant and he says, servant, I want you to come over here a moment. He said, servant, do you see someone down the lane coming this way? And the servant looks and he said, yes, master, I believe there's someone coming. He said, well, go down there and find out who it is. Amen. and then come back and tell me. The servant runs down the lane and he runs up in front of one of the horriblest sights he had ever seen. There stands a man that looks like he's laid in the gutters. He doesn't have any weight on his body whatsoever. He's as skinny as he can be. His eyes are black and hollow. His hair is matted. And he's got a body odor that smells like pigs. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's one thing about it. He's on his way home. Amen. He tried all of the things of the flesh, but inside, after you've tried everything, there is still a cry of the soul. And I'd like to say it tonight, after they've gone everywhere and tried everything, Jesus is still the answer. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus is still the answer. I'm glad that I came to Jesus. And I bowed at an old-fashioned altar. And I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm hungry. I'm not satisfied. And Jesus reached down with His mercy and His love and picked me up and set my feet on the solid rock.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. And finally, the servant looks at that boy and says, who are you? The master sent me down here to find out who you are. And the boy with a weak voice says, well, I'm the son of the master. And the servant jumps back two or three steps. He says, no! No! You can't be! Don't you remember me? I left a few months ago. No! I remember when that boy left. He was dressed up in a beautiful suit. He had his hair combed. He was well shaven. He was in good shape. He was heavy. You can't be! Finally, that boy says, look, if you'll listen to me just a moment, I can tell you my brother's name. I can tell you the master's name. And I can even tell you your name. And he begins to rattle all those names off. And the servant says, let me take a closer look. And he gets up there a little closer. He says, by the way, after getting real close, you do resemble the one that left. And he says, are you really Joe? He says, yes, sir. I'm Joe. He said, well, tell me about yourself. He said, I'm too weak. Just go tell my daddy I'm coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And the servant runs back and he says, Master, Master, that's your son that left. And all at once the old boy was running down the lane. Hallelujah. I said he was running down the lane. Amen. And when he got down that lane, Brother Smith, he threw his arms around the neck of that boy. Hallelujah. You mean he threw his arms around that cruddy boy, that boy that had left home, that filthy rascal that was no good, that had spent his money on riotous living? Absolutely. And I want you to know, you and I, we're in the same condition, that Jesus Christ heard the cry of our soul. Hallelujah. And today, Jesus Christ is still in the saving business. And he hears the cry of the hungry soul out there in the world. And he wants him to get up and come home. Amen. And he wants you and I to go out there and pick him up and help him down the street and bring him to a house of God and tell him about salvation and tell him that Jesus Christ can satisfy the appetite of the soul. Hallelujah. And what's so beautiful about the story of the prodigal son, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone preach on it. You excuse me, I think I found something new. Amen. That their father turned around. You know, we preached about the fatted calf. We preached about the fiesta or the feast. We preached about his friends. We preached about the shoes on his feet and the ring on his hand. But the beautiful thing I got out of this story not long ago was the master turned around and said to the servant, he said, you go bring me the best robe. Bring me the best robe. Do you hear me tonight? The best robe. And the servant says, Master, excuse me, I don't want to dispute your word, but you're talking about that robe that costs $50,000. He said, that's the one I'm talking about. But sir, excuse me, I don't think you understand. This boy, look how dirty he is. Look how filthy he is. And I just don't believe that you want the best robe for him. And he turns around and says, I want the best robe. Hallelujah. And the servant says, but master, I don't understand. Would you explain to me a little bit? And the man turns around and he said, look, servant. He said, you don't understand, but I understand. See, this is my boy that was lost and is now found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. Go bring me the best robe. Hallelujah. And he said, and when you go to get the best robe, you tell the other two servants to come down here and give him a bath. Hallelujah. And here comes the two servants with the water. You excuse me, Brother Sism. Hallelujah. I like to do this to my boss. Hallelujah. He says, I want you to bring the rags and the water. And there they come down there and they begin to rip off the old tattered garments. Hallelujah. And they get the water and the soap and they begin to clean him up. And they begin to give him a bath. Hallelujah. They clean him all up. Can you say amen? And then all at once, here comes the boy, the servant, carrying the best robe. Hallelujah. And the master takes the best robe. Amen. Around the shoulders. Amen. Of that boy. And he says, now you look like my son. You was lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but now you're alive. Oh, glory. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. Hallelujah. I'm baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless Him, Jesus. Trinity doctrine. Thank God I'm not out there stooping around in darkness trying to find my way. But I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed. I've been filled with His Spirit. I'm all dressed up in the best robe. Hallelujah. And I can truthfully say tonight, my soul is satisfied and it's overflowing and bubbling with the goodness of God's salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I rejoice when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I had nothing to offer Him, but there was a cry from the soul that simply said, I've got an appetite. I'm hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thirsty. And he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Would you come along with me tonight? And let's take a trip to South America. I have sat in restaurants and I have sat there eating a nice meal. And all at once my attention would be taken to the window. And there at the window of that restaurant, you would see the little dirty hands and the dirty noses pressed against the window of that restaurant. Their stomachs are enlarged. What's wrong with them? They're hungry. And what they've come there for is to watch you eat and wish that they had what you had. There have been times when I've gotten up, I couldn't take it. I'd walk over to the door and I'd open the door and I'd say, "Here, children, take it." And brother, they'd just cram it in their mouth. And it wouldn't be but about 10 minutes later, they'd have 15 or 20 more saying, "There's a good green go down there that'll give you something to eat." Come on. Hallelujah. But there were times when I would get up and I would go to the cashier to pay my check, and I would hear behind me a rambling and some banging on the table. And I turn around to look, and what has happened? Those little hungry children have run in there when nobody was looking, and they've grabbed the leftovers on that table and stuff it in their mouth and run out the door. They're hungry. They're hungry. You'd like to feed all of them, wouldn't you? But would you tune your ears tonight to the people that walk by you in the shopping center? Would you walk down the street and see the drunk lying in the gutter and dare to pass him by? Would you go down the streets and see the dope addicts and the hippies and go on by and say, "There's no use. We can't do anything with them. There's nothing we can do." See, what the UPC brethren and sisters need is to be orientated to the word soul. We talk too much about people. We talk too much about women and men and boys and girls. But every last one that you see out there is a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. And if you please, it won't be purgatory. There is no in between. You'll either spend eternity in heaven with God and the angels, or in hell with the devil and the demons in torment throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. But if we would go out from this conference spiritually, and tune our ears to a soul that crieth out and says, "I've got an appetite. I've tried everything, and everything has failed me, and I've got an appetite. Would someone give me something to eat for my soul? Go on and let the charismatics take him." It's all right, huh? Go on and let the assemblies get him. But we've got the food. The table spread. There's no church in the world that's got a table spread like our church. We've got the food. We've got the repentance in the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost. And there are hungry souls outside of our walls. And spiritually speaking, they're standing with their fingers and their noses up against the window glass saying, "Won't you give me what you've got? I'm hungry. I want what you people's got." Come on. Have you ever really realized what you've got? Do you realize, saints, that the angels in heaven would like to trade places with you tonight? Come on. If you brethren will back me up, I'm going to get plain and bold. I believe that Gabriel and Michael would like to come down here and sit on this platform and be a Holy Ghost tongue talking Jesus name preacher. Amen. They'd like to trade places with you and have the wonderful experience of speaking with other tongues and praising God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. But you and I have got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. And we've got something that even angels can't have. Oh, hallelujah. Oh yeah, the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. God or Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah. He's our tranquilizer. Amen. He's our doctor when we're sick. He's our lawyer when we're in trouble. He's our professor when we need teaching. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I once walked by a little barrio hut, an adobe hut. And as I walked by, I heard a child crying. And I looked over there. And I saw that child, just a little girl. And I walked over to her and I said, Mija, ¿qué te pasa? My little child, what's wrong? She looked up. She said, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I said, where's your mom and dad? She said, they have abandoned me. I have no wine and no food to eat. I stood there and cried and tried to get her something to eat. Every last one of us would help her. But spiritually speaking, there's men and women that live next door to you. They live down the street from you. They live in your community. You meet them every day. You go to work with them. You shop with them. And young people, you go to school with them. And they're crying out when they're on dope and when they're looking for the dance hall. They're actually saying, I'm hungry. I'm trying to satisfy. I'm trying to get satisfied. I've got an appetite. I've got to find some food that'll satisfy me. And I've never found that food. And out there in the world, they'll never find it. The only way they'll ever find it is for you and I to hear the cry of that appetite of the soul. And tell them, come on with me. Hallelujah. Come on with me. I picked up the newspaper in New York City not too many months ago, and the Daily News had a complete front page picture of a man's face. I looked at that man and I saw hollow eyes. I saw a wild look in his eyes. I saw a lost look in his eyes. I saw a lonely look in his eyes. I saw a cry that says, someone help me. I'm hungry. I would have not known who it was if the big bold headlines had not told me. But I read the headline and it said, Mr. Hughes is dead. Mr. Hughes is dead. And when I read that headline and looked at that picture, I could not believe it. I was expecting to see a well-groomed man. I was expecting to see a well-dressed man. I was expecting to see a man that was well satisfied. But with all of his billions and with all of his resort areas and all of the things that he had as the wealth of this world, he died a poor beggar, lost and lonely, and with a soul crying out saying, I've got an appetite. I'm hungry. Listen to me tonight, young people. You can leave the church and go out and do what you want to do. Go on. But you'll never be satisfied. You'll only go down and down and down. You've got the greatest privilege that any young man or any young woman would ever want to have. I once read an article of a movie star. She wanted everything. She had told her parents, I want everything. And what I want more than anything else is fame and glory. I want my name to be in all the papers of the world and on the billboards. And in the movie houses. Her mom and dad had spent their life's earnings working, both of them, to put that girl through drama school and try to make her a success. She became a success. Her name was all over the world. Everyone knew her. She was in the movie houses and she was flashed on the screens. She had several limousines. She lived in a mansion. She had need of nothing. But there was an empty soul that cried out. Every night she would go to her room. She would lay on her bed and she would turn and she would roll. She could not understand. No way she could understand. I've got everything I've always desired and I've wanted. But see, there is a soul that hath appetite. One day her friends went to her apartment and they could not get an answer. They said, well, apparently she's decided to change her schedule. The next day, no answer. She apparently has changed her schedule. The third day, there was still no answer, and they reasoned with themselves, this is strange, this can't be. So they decided to break the door down, and as they plunged against that door, and it finally gave, and they fell inside. They fell on top of a lifeless body of a young movie star that had everything the world had to offer her. I can hear the words of the song right now. Take it all, take it all, take everything that this world has to offer me. In 100 years from now, it won't matter anyhow. And all at once, one of the young ladies began to cry and scream and say, look, I found a note, a suicide note. One of the young men got brave enough to unfold it and to begin to read it. And she said, Mom and Dad, I love you. You've given me everything that my flesh has ever desired. But the reason that I'm doing tonight what I'm doing is because you never told me how to satisfy my empty soul. I lay down at night and there's something inside that cries out. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm empty. I've got an appetite. Could we, Pentecostal saints, tune our ears to the cry of a soul? I stood in Costa Rica in San Jose. I had gone to a big cathedral to visit it while I was there preaching a crusade. It was one of the most beautiful cathedrals I've ever seen. I go visit every one of them that I get a chance to visit because there's something about it. To see the idolatry. And I stood there with Brother Ralph Holland and I looked at the entrance of that cathedral door. It must have been as far from here to that top door back there. And I saw two ladies come in. They were not rich ladies. They were not wealthy. They were just poverty stricken. Perhaps lived in a mud hut somewhere out there in the barrio. But I saw them as they entered that door. They got down. They clutched the crucifix in one hand and the rosary in the other. And here they came, walking on their knees. And then they would stop and they would pray a round of the rosary. And then they would walk on. Where are they going, preacher? They're going down there to an idol that's got eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and a mouth that cannot speak. I stood there for 45 minutes to an hour, and when they got down there, their knees were bleeding. I felt within myself, Brother Theobald, I felt like saying, Señores, you don't have to pray like that. I wanted to scream it to them.
But then the Holy Ghost checked me. And seemingly the Spirit of the Lord said, Barley, they're doing all they know to do. See, it's the soul inside of them that's searching, searching, searching. I'm empty. I'm hungry. I'm starving. And all they know to do is to cry out to an idol. Don't laugh at them. Don't make fun of them. They're more sincere than what we are. I said, oh God, help me to tell them that Jesus can answer their hunger. Help me to tell them you can come boldly before the throne of grace. You can throw away your crucifix and your rosary, and you can stand up tall and feel the flooding of God's blood as it flows from Calvary over your sin-sick soul. I can hardly finish this sermon tonight because I literally, in my spirit, can feel and hear the cry of a hungry, lost soul that's slipping out into eternity forever and ever to be lost. While we so haphazardly sit here and think, wish you would hurry up and shut your mouth so I could go eat a steak. It's a beautiful spirit of Jesus Christ that's coming over us right now. Brother Kid Rose, you've seen the old Bronx church many times. I was up in the balcony there one day praying when I heard someone at the office or at the altar. And I decided I would come down and find out what happened or what was going on. I walked from way back there in that balcony, and I walked down like this, and when I got about this close to the altar, I saw a man that I recognized, Brother Johnny. But by him was a man. He had his hair in an afro haircut, filthy dirty. His clothing was slick with filth, and he had such a body odor that I hesitated, and I thought, isn't that a sight to behold? And I finally stepped around, and I walked up on that tall platform like this, and I looked around, and I looked into the face of a man with glassy eyes. This side of his beard was torn away, his head was cut. And I thought, my Lord, why did Johnny ever bring him to the church? Come on now, let's be honest. And then suddenly, I began to listen. Not to a prayer because he couldn't pray, but I began to listen to the cry of a soul. And I couldn't stand there any longer. I said, Johnny, who is this man? He said, Brother Barley, his name's Patrick. Where did you find him? Found him on the street corner trying to commit suicide. A cry of the soul. I've got to get out of here. There's no satisfaction. I'm empty. I said, but what'd you bring him to church for? He said, Brother Barley, no one wanted to help him. And I thought there's only one place to take him, and that's to the church. Finally, I said, Patrick, stand up. Tell me about yourself. He started out. He didn't have to tell me he was on dope. I could see it. Said, preacher, you don't want anything to do with me. I'm a terrible mess. I said, Patrick, why did you try to commit suicide? He said, because no one loves me. Where do you sleep, Patrick? Or I said, where do you live? He said, I sleep on the rooftops of the buildings in the South Bronx. Preacher, please leave me alone. You don't want anything to do with me. You'll be like everyone else. And all at once he grabbed his sleeve and he rolled it up. And he said, see, I'm on top. And then he took the other one and he rolled it up. He said, see, I'm a terrible mess. Both of mine. Look at it. He said, on top of that, I'm an alcoholic. I looked at Johnny and I said, Johnny, I've got a burden for Patrick. Take him to Way Out House. Tell him to keep him. And we'll get him for the next service. We can't do much with him tonight because he's too high. And the next morning, Johnny called me and said, Brother Barley, I'm sorry, but the director at the Way Out House wouldn't keep him. They knew him. He won't leave dope alone. He won't leave the students alone. And they wouldn't keep him. I said, Johnny, by the mercy of God, find him. Go back where you let him out on the street corner and find him and bring him to church tonight. See, I had laid awake all night. I heard the cry of a soul. I said, oh God, work a miracle. And sure enough, Johnny, by the mercy of God, found him and brought him to church. I stood up and I said, saints, if we don't do anything else in this service, we're going to cast out the demons in this young man. And a sister jumped up over there and spoke to me in Spanish and said, Brother Barley, be careful. I had a dream last night that you prayed for a man like this and he tried to kill you. Thank you, sister, for the warning, but I'm duty bound. I've already tuned in to the cry of the soul. I said, come down here, Patrick. And I stood on that platform like this. And I said, saints, pray. And I put my hand in his dirty hair. And I could feel the grease. And I said, now in the name of Jesus. And when I said in the name of Jesus, he jumped up on that platform like a wild lion and grabbed me around the throat and began to squeeze. And the saints started running to help me. I said, please, brother and sister, don't touch him. Plead the blood. And they began to plead the blood. And all at once, Patrick fell backwards on the floor. And I saw the demons coming out of him. They came out. You say, how many did he have? I don't know. But there was a man in the Bible that had 6,000. And he ripped his clothing off of him. And he'd take the rocks and cut his flesh and hide in the tombs. But one day, someone passed by and saw him clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And I saw the demons come out of him. And we began to worship. And suddenly, Patrick stood up and raised his hands in front of me and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God fell upon him. That night, I took Patrick down to the Way Out House. I said, I want you to keep Patrick tonight, Mr. Director. He said, oh, no. I know Patrick, and I won't keep him. I said, you're going to keep him tonight, or I'm going to go to the city officials. And he said, well, Reverend, just for you, I'll keep him tonight. But if he causes me any trouble, I'm going to kick him out in the street. I said, no, sir. Don't you kick him out in the street. If he causes you any trouble, you call me. Sometimes we're too quick to leave newborn babies. And 2 days later,
I got a phone call from the Way Out House. As I drove down there, my faith was low. And I thought, what's happened to Patrick? I went in. The director invited me into his office. He said, Reverend, sit down across my desk. I sat down. And he said, oh, I'm glad that God can hear the cry of a soul. You and I might not hear it, but God hears it. And the director said to me, he said, Preacher, all I want to do is ask you a question. I said, what's the question? What did your church do to Patrick? I said, would you qualify that question? He said, well, Patrick don't want dope anymore. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He's got himself a Bible, and he's teaching all the boys about the Word of the Lord. What did your church do to Patrick? I said, Mr. Director, our church didn't really do anything. We just heard the cry of a hungry soul, and we spent some time with him. I said, now I'm excited. Would you let me see Patrick? He said, no, sir. He said, he's in a class and he's doing so good, I don't want anybody to bother him. But I promise you, he'll be at a church Sunday. Can you guess the rest of it? I went in on Sunday morning in that old theater building, and there was only one man there. He was sitting on that seat right down front. Nice haircut, cleanly shaven, new white shirt, new tie, new coat, new pants, and new shoes. I didn't know him. I walked up and I said, young man, I'm the pastor of the United Pentecostal Church. I want to welcome you to the Sunday school. He jumped out of there and he said, why, Brother Barley, don't you know me? I'm Patrick. Well, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. Hallelujah. He's never changed. He still came into the world to seek and to save those which are lost. He still tuned in to the cry of the appetite of the soul. Thank God that he picked me up one day and he took the old tattered garment that I was wearing and he tore it off and he dressed me up in the best robe, the robe of righteousness, the robe of holiness, the robe of truth. And here I am tonight shouting the victory. Hallelujah. Because of the love of Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He's my rock. He's my soul. He's my shield. And he wants to do the same for the lost around about our community. Could you stand? Would you sing, Sister Park? Would you close your eyes and raise your hands and say it? I'm wondering if the word of the Lord has touched some saint's heart tonight. And you'd like to come down here and stand before this platform and raise your hands and say, Jesus, tune me into the cry of a soul. I've been so slowful. I've been so selfish. Who will be first to walk down here tonight? Who'll be honest? God bless this young man. How about it, preacher? Do we have a preacher that would step out and say, Lord, here comes a missionary. Brother Joe Dominguez. Oh, God. Comes Brother Battle, another missionary. Brother Dansby, God bless you. Jesus loves you. Sister Marilyn, God loves you, and he's going to do a great thing for you. Saints, what about you? Your ministers are coming. What about you? Could you say, Jesus?